I invite you to open your Bibles at Colossians chapter 3, page 1184 of the Pew Bible, if you're using the Pew Bible. And we'll look at this little passage which Ron read for us just a few moments ago. During the week, I slipped over to see girls over in the south of England and went with the appropriate warm clothing on that I'd been wearing here, the jerseys and the fleece and the coat and all the rest of it, only to discover to my horror that everybody in the south of England was still wearing shorts and t-shirts, and it was roasting. And, well, I was obviously the tourist from the wrong place. They say there's no such thing as bad weather, just the wrong clothes. Well, there's no such thing as good weather either, it's just the wrong clothes. Very easy to be in the wrong clothes. And that's essentially what this passage is all about. It's asking what you're clothed in. What are you clothed in? It's about this taking off and this putting on. It's about changing. And we all change. Whether our clothes, for some reason, the clothes are shrinking, that's obviously the clothes that are shrinking, it's nothing else that's happening. Whether they're getting a bit worn out, there's a button gone ping, there's a hole in it, maybe they're a bit grubby, we change them. And we put on new clothes. But the Bible's not interested really in your wardrobe, important though it is to us. But the Bible is so interested and how we actually clothe ourselves. It's nothing as superficial as clothes. It goes right to the very heart of who and what we are. What we're clothed in. It's interesting again, and it happens time and time again as you read through the New Testament, as you read through Paul's letters, before we're told this is what you should do. The Bible takes the time to actually say, this is who you are because of Jesus. This is what you are because of Jesus. And then in the light of these things, this is how you're to live. This is how you're to behave. So it happens again in this passage. We're reminded of who and what we are because of Jesus. We have been raised with Christ. You died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. All this is true in your life because of Jesus. And because of that, because Jesus is at work in your life, then there are things that need to be taken off and other things that need to be put on. Taking off and putting on. One of the phrases that continually challenges me, and I'm not sure where it came from originally, is simply this. God does what you cannot do so that you may be free. What you cannot do in your life, God does so that you may be free. You cannot forgive your own sins. You cannot set yourself free from the curse of sin. God does that so that you can be free. God does what you cannot do so that you may be free. But the other half of the phrase is this: God will not do what you can do so that you may grow. Sometimes we separate out what God does in our life and our own responsibility. And there are times when we think, well, that's God's job. I have no responsibility. God's the one who's going to change me. As you read through a passage like this, it becomes clear that actually, yes, God is at work, but we have a responsibility too. The two things work together. God does what we cannot do so that we may be free. That's why Jesus died. God will not do what you can do so that you may grow. God's work and our responsibility go hand in hand. And that's why we read in verse 12 of this little passage, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves. You're God's chosen people. You're holy. You're dearly loved. That's who you are because of Jesus. God has done that for you. And because of that, then you go ahead and clothe yourselves. the two things work together. God's work and our responsibility. The Bible is never interested in change that is superficial. Sometimes we put on this veneer of niceness. We become nice people. And we have that veneer, but we all know that you only have to scratch a veneer slightly to see what's going on underneath it. Maybe it's a bit of furniture that looks great until you see a scratch on it and you realize it's chipboard underneath it. It's so easy for that to happen in our lives. We make superficial changes in our lives, and it's like a veneer. It's like a wrong set of clothes that just do not fit properly, and it just masks what's going on underneath. We all know the religious veneer, which is so prevalent in this part of the world. People who can say and do the right things and be in the right place at the right time, but if you can see beneath that veneer, you know that there are very different hearts at play. There's harshness, there's bitterness, there's anger. Everything's still there beneath that veneer of niceness, beneath that religious veneer. The Bible is never interested in that superficial change. The change that this passage and so much else in the New Testament talks about is deep, transforming change. So we take off and we put on. And as you hear those words, take off and put on, it's an echo of Jesus saying, repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. Repent is simply to turn away from, to take off. And believe is simply to run into, to put on. To take off and to put on, to repent and believe. Turning from all that is wrong, believing that Jesus has paid the price for our sin. You see, a superficial change doesn't need a savior. That's why we can make New Year's resolutions that will last perhaps until the 2nd of January. That's why we can talk about turning over a new leaf again and again and again. Because you don't need a savior to make that superficial change. You need a savior to make that transforming change in your life. That's who Jesus is. When we allow Jesus into our lives, when we invite him in, that truly wonderful transformation starts, which is not superficial, which is not a veneer. It's not a one-off experience. Again, so often in this part of the world, we seem to be fixated with what happened last week, last month, last year, 10 years ago, 50 years ago. Whenever I gave my life to Jesus, and that's good and that's wonderful and it's important, but it still goes on. Repenting and believing is not just something that happened way back then. Taking off and putting on is not just something for our past, it's for our present. It's for every moment of every day. There is a need for continual repentance. Continual believing, because this side of heaven we will never be perfect. This side of heaven we will always struggle with taking off and putting on. And so we need to continually repent, believe, and avail of this amazing grace of which we've just sung. Taking off and putting on. Paul writes this letter to people like you and me. They're part of a church in Colossae. They're struggling with what it means to be a Christian in their changing world, when values around them seem to conflict with what they're trying to put in their own lives. And isn't it interesting? The two things which Paul seems to highlight in this passage are two beautiful gifts from God. Our sexuality and our speech. Two beautiful God-given gifts to us. but gifts which, when they're misused and abused, can destroy. Destroy individuals, destroy families, destroy communities, destroy churches. Paul points these things out. Take off, put on. Get rid of those things. That's how you used to live. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, verse 7. But verse 8, now rid yourselves of all such things. There's a list at the beginning of this passage that Ron read for us in verse 5. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Imagine a community where those things are dominant. But imagine another community which is marked by compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love. Which community would you rather be a part of? I think it's what the Americans would call a no-brainer. Now, there will be some bravado people who would say, I'd rather live in the first one where you're free. You can be and do what you want. Really? God calls us to be that second community, which is not marked not by the things that used to hold sway in our lives, but by these things that we're putting on day after day. Putting on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Those are the things that should mark us. Yes, we will disagree. There'll be things that we will not agree over, but let's learn to disagree in a way that is patient, forgiving, gentle, and humble. Because those are the marks of Jesus being put on in your life. Verses 9 and 10 simply talk about taking off this old self, putting on a new self. And the interesting thing is that when that happens, all those superficial differences that set us apart from each other begin to disappear. Verse 13 simply says that whenever we put off and take off and put on, then the peace of Christ rules in your hearts. And what the people around us see, they no longer see all the differences that would separate us. They begin to see this oneness that we have in Jesus. They begin to see that peace that passes understanding deep, deep down in our hearts because of Jesus. So we're encouraged. Take off, put on. We're encouraged to let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. How do you do that? Getting to know his word. Getting to know the Bible. The word of Christ will never dwell richly in us if we just sit in a corner and hope it sometimes bumps into us. Let's be people who get to know the Bible so that we will know what to take off and what to put it on. And then that last little section of verse 17, which simply says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, there's the thing. A few years back, there was the bracelet that simply said, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And that's basically what Paul is saying here. Saying, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So perhaps before we do something, perhaps before we say something, we need to simply ask ourselves the question, can I do this? Can I say this in the name of Jesus? And if you can't, take it off. Put on the new self. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes people say to me things like, Stephen, I know it's not very Christian, but this is the way I feel. This is what I want to say. This is how I want to behave. I know it's not very Christian. Paul would say, well, can you say that in the name of the Lord Jesus? I know it's not very Christian, but I do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't really sit well together. We need to take it off and put on Christ-likeness. And the interesting thing is that when that happens, when people see something of the peace of Christ, which binds us together, which makes us distinctive, it's a testimony to this world. You see, you can argue theology. You can argue doctrine all day long until the cows go home and then back out again the next morning. You can argue doctrine, theology for as long as you like. You cannot argue against a life that's been transformed by the grace of God. And when people see our lives being transformed by this unending love, by this amazing grace, it's a strong witness to the love of Jesus. Taking off, putting on. That's our calling, but we're not left to do it on our own. That grace of God that saved us is the same grace that is at work in us day by day, helping us to take off and to put on. And may our lives give him honor and glory. Let's pray together. Father, as we sit bowed before you, show us, we pray, what we need to take off in our own lives. Show us by your Spirit those things that we just accept as normal, okay, but which are far from it. And then lead us to put on Christ-likeness, that the world may see and believe.